May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today I'd like to share with you a tale of two women. One of these women I have never met in person. In fact, I don't even know her name. The other has been a close friend since I was 10. These two women have some things in common, but they also lead very different lives, separated by both time and place. Both women have encountered Jesus. Both women have something to teach us. The first woman appears in the reading from Mark's Gospel, Simon's mother-in-law. We aren't told her name. As I've pondered this passage this week, my impression of it has changed. I tend to approach healing stories in the Bible somewhat reluctantly. While I'm incredibly glad to see Jesus likes to heal people, it doesn't reflect the world I see around me, which is full of so much suffering. By way of confession, I'll admit that what transformed my approach to this passage was a preview I saw for an upcoming movie. The preview I saw was for a movie based on the life of another biblical woman, a woman whose name we do know, Mary Magdalene, one of Jesus' followers. The preview of this movie showed Jesus healing Mary. Yes, it was powerfully cinematic. Yes, I know that it is a movie. But the scene wasn't sensational or sentimental. It was merciful and compassionate, and I found it very profound. It reminded me of what a close encounter with Jesus would have been like. It was incredibly beautiful, and this totally transformed the way I approached Simon's mother-in-law. It helped me to imagine the scene from today's reading. Jesus has only just started his ministry, a ministry of preaching and healing the brokenness in people's lives. Simon and his brother Andrew have seen enough of Jesus' mercy, power, and compassion to tell him about the fever Simon's mother-in-law was suffering. They enter the house, and Jesus takes the woman by the hand and tells her to get up. In this moment of intimacy, the fever leaves her, and she begins to serve them. I don't read this as her assuming a role of servitude, although some might, due to the cultural norms placed on women in every age. I see her as offering hospitality, which both men and women were called and are called to do. So what is Mark teaching us in this woman's story? This woman, who occupies a couple of verses in the whole of the Bible, is a symbol and foretaste of resurrection. As we journey through Mark's Gospel, we will see Jesus raise others to restored life. And finally, God will raise Jesus to life after his own death on the cross. This is how God is at work in the world, bringing peace from violence, love from fear, life from death, healing from disease. This woman is also a model of Christian service for all of us, men and women. Some call her the first deacon of the church, one who shows the rest of us how to respond to the work of Jesus in our lives. Encounters with Jesus bring about a response, and this woman's encounter leads her to serve Jesus and others. Further on in Mark's Gospel, Jesus will tell all his followers that he has come into the world not to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many. This woman is a model of what it means to be a follower of Christ, to serve voluntarily as a response to a healing encounter, rather than involuntarily or out of duty. It does not surprise me that the crowds flocked to the door of the house, bringing their sick and tormented. This was good news, and people wanted a part of the healing for themselves and for their loved ones. This is still the case today. We all know and love people whom we long to experience healing. Perhaps the healing that you long for is your own. I have not suffered a chronic illness or chronic pain, and this makes me hesitant to speak about what it must be like. But I do live in a fallen world, and I have experienced physical and emotional pain, and I know that it is not fun. I have also watched family members and friends face critical and chronic physical and mental illness, and often it just doesn't seem fair. This brings me to the second woman whose story we are going to hear, my friend Caitlin Lance Hope. Some of you will remember Caitlin from when she preached at Holy Covenant, and we supported her work as a psychologist with children in Calcutta, India. Caitlin and I went on a diocesan youth camp as teenagers. At the end of the camp, she developed what we thought was a cold. Nothing unusual there. Unfortunately, it was chronic fatigue syndrome, which had a huge impact on her life for the next 12 years. Caitlin kept her faith throughout this time. She was prayed for numerous times and received ministry from Christians, some of it helpful, some unhelpful. Caitlin modified her life and managed to finish high school and complete an honours degree, and somewhere along the line, with others, plant a church. Yet it remained a tough time, socially and physically. At one point, Caitlin felt God saying to her that she was going to be healed. It was a risk of faith to believe this. But she did, and she gathered people around her on a certain date and asked people near and far to pray. And pray we did. The encounter that Caitlin had with God that night and the healing that took place was nothing short of a miracle, and there was much celebration. Caitlin went on to serve others with her training as a psychologist, especially in the areas of trauma. This led her to India, Kenya, and Uganda. After many years of being well, Caitlin contracted malaria. This, coupled with a genetic predisposition, led to the chronic fatigue syndrome returning. Currently, in the area of her health, Caitlin's life is once again not as she would wish it to be. Caitlin told me at Christmas that 10 years ago, chronic fatigue syndrome was not well understood. Today, there have been advances in understanding it. She believes that God will heal her again. However, this time, it will come through the advice she has been given, and that advice is to have a year of complete rest, very limited work, and minimal stress. This has not been easy for her to accept. Caitlin is an immensely talented person with many skills to bring to a hurting world in places others are reluctant to go. I pray for Caitlin, and I know that God is with her during this extended time of rest and recovery. Caitlin has taught me a lot. I share her story today with her permission. Weaved in her story are many things: God healing in miraculous ways, and God healing through the skills of medical technicians, scientists, psychologists, and others who bring healing to people. God is at work in the world when medical advancements are made and when these advancements are shared equitably. God is also at work in our prayers in ways that we cannot know or imagine. Our gospel reading finished with Jesus leaving the crowds, seeking God in prayer, and then deciding to go to the next town. He had a message to share and compassion to extend. This is the God we serve, a God who sees the world as it is and decides to keep going to the next town. A God who embraces us in our pain and suffering with a message and vision of hope and compassion. a God who calls us to participate in resurrection life through our own service to God and to others, through our rest, our prayers, our words and actions that embody good news.